Okay.
Okay, recording's going. And again, Leander, when you have to go, just be like, gotta go, Gavinaz! And then okay. We'll let you slide off. That's when the real shit talking begins. As soon as you hang up. That's when the good stuff on this show is going to start. We all just vent. Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and what an excellent group of guests we have joining me today. The first, you've never seen a man dance so delicately with a long ribbon tied to a pole. I'm speaking about Leander Caney, of course.
Love his dancing.
He also looks great in a unitard. But we'll talk about that another day. Also, someone so manly, though he'll shave in the morning.
It's not me. You just tell by your
By dusk, he'll have a full beard already. I'm, of course, speaking about Buster Hein. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Hey, I put some extra stink on that one for you.
It felt good, too.
And, of course, we have Alex E. Heath. Legend has it, his white suits were passed down to him from a man famous for cooking fried chicken. Welcome, Alex.
The Colonel.
He was a colonel in his own type of army. And I'm not even joking about the white suits. Are you wearing one right now?
No, not right now. I will after the show.
I thought that was pretty much an everyday occurrence.
It is. I just took it off for the show. I like to do the show naked.
You do the show totally stark. Yeah, it's good.
It shows.
It's it's good to think that how I visualize you is actually accurate.
Yeah.
Before the show goes any more off the rails, Leander, I want to tell you something. I love Linda.
.com.
Thanks to Lynda.com for sponsoring this episode with over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by industry-leading experts. Lynda.com will help you master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn all you want for free for 7 days with a free trial. Head on over to Lynda.com/cultcast and Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter code cultcast at checkout. A better web starts with your website, Leander. Mm-hmm. We got to come up with a good website for you. I think I have a good idea. We can talk about it later
okay,
in the show.
Yeah.
Okay, Alex, I think we were going to start with a little story about EarPods. Is that right? So a little bird was whispering on secret.com about
the app, yeah.
Secret. I'm sorry, the secret app. My bad. And somebody was talking about the EarPods and how they might be getting an update. First of all, I love the EarPods. Don't you guys love them? They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. FYI, I just went to secret.com and it's a deodorant and antiperspirant website. So don't go there.
So this rumor has been debunked. We can move on. So tell us, please.
That's hard with Secret because you have no idea, because it's the whole point is that it's anonymous. But I feel like, isn't it? I'm having trouble remembering exact instances, but Buster, hasn't it been true that Secret's broken some Silicon Valley news in the past already?
Yeah,
like people will post things and then they will come true in the next day or something.
A lot of stuff that's also been posted on it hasn't come true.
Right, exactly. But
a lot.
Yeah. I would say most of it, yeah. But still.
But basically this Apple employee says that he got laid off and so he's mad for being manipulated. So he's leaking all this all these details about the new EarPods. So assumedly he was working on them. But he says they're going to have sensors in them for heart rate and blood pressure measuring and also iBeacon, so they won't get lost. So you'll know where they are in proximity to your iPhone, and that they won't connect through the audio jack, but through the Lightning port, I guess. So that the iPhone can read the sensors, which is interesting.
Now let me ask you this, just thinking about this, from a pragmatic perspective, why would you want to have those sensors in your EarPods instead of like on your wrist?
Well,
I don't know.
It might be easier to gauge it from your ears, you know, they're standing, like, you know, when your ear pods are in your ear, they're pretty much fixed. Mm-hmm. Apple also has some like weird patents that have like sensors in ear or headphones. So
yeah,
it sounds really crazy, but it could, I don't know. It could also happen.
And this guy,
can we look it up? Is it, do they have a patent for that?
They do. They have a couple. They have a couple. Yeah. And
because we don't, this guy is just claiming to be an engineer.
Yeah, right. He's just claiming it. I mean, he's got a compelling story. Like, it doesn't sound like he's just some guy saying random stuff.
Well, it must be compelling enough for people to actually, you know, give this any validity at all. Buster, what were you going to say?
Did he say what he got fired for?
No, he didn't. But he said, like, the ear pods are supposed to be Apple's, like, gateway drug into wearables. Like, it's going to, like, get you to go to get an iWatch as well, because you'll have the heart rate and blood pressure, which will sync to your phone. But then also, like, iWatch will lead to, like, more fitness stuff.
Right.
So it'll work right there on that device.
Yeah. And somebody asked him, somebody said in the comments, they were like, so is this like for the iWatch or whatever? And he said, well, they haven't decided on the name yet, but it's going to be, like Buster said, a gateway product to that product.
And when's it supposed to be coming? Did he say when it's supposed to be coming out?
Whenever iOS 8 drops. So
what?
I guess
that's like in a month, isn't it?
No, drops like in the
fall. Okay, I see.
Yeah. The other thing too is if your headphones plugged into your Lightning port, then you wouldn't be able to charge your phone and listen to music at the same time.
That's what another person brought up, which, I agree that could
Wankster.
Be. But these could be like a more like a high-end ear pods, and then you have to plug in your dumb ear pods just to charge while listening.
Well, yeah, and he said that there's room for like there's a possibility of having like an adapter as well, which would kind of suck, but
like a dongle,
like, yeah, or like just a little, you know, because they have like the 30 pin to Lightning adapters already. They're just like these tiny things, so something like that is possible.
Okay, well, it sounds like it's not outside the realm of possibility. But
just seems pretty crazy.
It like, seems a little strange. Yeah.
It just seems to me with stuff like this and all the rumors that it's going to be a very interesting year just in terms of like Apple hardware. Like it sounds like they're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff with sensors and like technology.
And their prompts. I like the idea that they're going to be working on a range of different things. You know, I mean, I can't believe that, you know, they've been working for 3 years on a pair of earbuds. You know, it's going to be a whole range of stuff, right?
Right.
Is that what this guy said? Is that they were working on them for 3 years?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm Leander's just saying that.
I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
Well, like, it's just product category,
right? Like, the earbuds
I'm just making
can't
stuff
be the
up
only
now.
Play. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, it's hard to believe that they're releasing the 12-inch iPad this fall, and they've been working on it for 7 years, Leander.
17.
Exclusive. I made that up. okay. Let's move on to some bad news for the iPhone 5. Well, it could be good news, I guess, if you're actually having the problem. Some people, I guess, are having a problem with the power button. So if this is you, Apple has announced that they're going to be providing free replacements for your power button. So they'll fix that for you free of charge, as long as your serial number on the iPhone matches the ones that they have identified as being affected by the flaw. So I checked mine. Mine, it qualifies for the program, but I'm not having any power button problems as far as I can tell. What about you guys?
I have a 5S.
Oh, you're a jerk. Yeah, what about Buster? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, same.
You have a 5S too?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
now I'm the wankster now. Jeez, yeah, I gotta get on the train. Are you guys
is yours all covered in scratches? And,
actually, it is. Yes.
Greasy this, fingerprints.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. But mine does. It has scratches all over it. In fact, I don't think that I've ever had a phone that's so easily dented. And it actually does dent. You know, with the 4S, you could drop it, and that steel band might get a little nick, but it doesn't actually get dented. And this phone actually gets dents. So
it's on the back.
No, on the band around the sides. Yeah, so when I go to sell this thing, I don't think I'm going to get a ton of money for it. Anyway.
Yeah, well, they're not replacing the whole phone, are they? They're just going to repair the button.
Yeah, they're going to repair the button. And they also said that if you have any other major repairs, that they're going to make you get those fixed first, potentially at a cost. So don't think you're going to take your broken phone in there and they're going to fix it for free. Tim Cook, don't play that. they're gonna send you out there with like a $500 bill. Hey, Leander,
what?
Can you roll up the windows on your motorcycle? How many times have we told you not to do the show from your motorcycle seat?
Well, I'm in the sidecar already, technically.
You're in this, I forgot you're
Tracy's
British.
Tracy's driving.
Tracy's right. driving in the actual motorcycle. Okay, let's talk about some, as long as we're talking about iPhones, you guys want to talk about some iPhone 6 rumors just a little bit? Alex, why don't you lead us off? Since you wrote the story, iPhone 6 could be just as thin as iPod Touch, according to a leaked case.
By our good friend Unbox Therapy.
Who we had on the show two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Okay, Lou, so, and he even teased, Lewis even teased us. He's like, I'm getting something hot in.
Yeah, this is what
and he wouldn't tell us what it was. So what happened?
Well, basically, he put one video out where he showed the case. And it's like, okay, cool. It's a pink silicone case that could be for the iPhone 6. Okay. And then the second one, he was like, you know what? I'm going to put my iPod Touch in here and see how it fits. Because the iPod Touch is about a millimeter thinner than the 5S, which doesn't sound considerable. But when you hold the two side by side, it's a pretty big difference. When you're getting down to like that small of
considering it's only like what 7.1 millimeters thick,
yeah.
It's down, a lot.
When you're down on that, when you're down on that level, every millimeter is a huge difference. So, and also for the iPhones,
as with many other things in life.
But so he put the iPod, the fifth gen, the current iPod Touch in the case, and it fit perfectly. So it obviously wasn't big enough because the screen is bigger, but like in terms of width and you know the curves of the sides, it fit perfectly. So that indicates that Apple might unify, you know, it's the design with the iPod Touch and the iPhone and do like a curved exterior with, you know, the volume rockers and the relocated mute switch up at the top.
Also worth saying is for those people that didn't hear our episode with Lewis, he got his hands on an iPad Air prototype.
Yeah.
Probably 6 weeks before Apple announced it. And he did this video on YouTube and it was really popular and it turned out he was spot on. What he had was the exact casing of an iPad Air. So, doesn't necessarily mean that this case is accurate as well, but definitely gives him some credibility. He obviously has some sources. Mm-hmm. And the guy's got like 800,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. So he's probably got a few people feeding him some good juices.
I'm feeding him juices.
that's for another show. So if you want to check that out, you can head on over to youtube.com/unboxtherapy. But I think we also posted the video on Cult of Mac, right?
Yeah.
Alex? Go to Cult of Mac. Just go to Cult of Mac and watch it there.
Come on.
Go
get
there.
My analysis. Expert analysis.
Expert analysis by Alex Excelsior Heath. Okay. I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. I always forget to do this, but we have a lot of great stuff in store. And we're going to be talking about the iPod later in the show, which we never get to talk about. And we're going to be pondering the question, should Apple just ditch the iPod? It's kind of languishing, and that iPod Classic, you see it at the Apple Store, and you kind of wonder, who buys this thing anymore? And they're not selling as well as they used to, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. We also have an all-new Faves and Raves coming up later in the show, where we pick our favorite tech and apps, and then pitch them, and you guys and we get to vote on which one's best. So, Alex, do you have a pick for that, by the way?
Yes.
You got something lined up?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, good. But before we do that, I want to give a thanks to lynda.com. That's lynda.com/cultcast. I love Lynda. That's because they have over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by industry-leading experts on a myriad of different applications. You can learn how to program. You can learn how to use Photoshop. You can learn how to use Lightroom. You can learn how to use GarageBand. You can learn how to use Logic. They have these excellent tutorials where they walk you through step by step, holding your hand all along the way so you learn exactly how to learn your favorite app. In fact, Leander, your wife, contacted me today and said, hey, I want to learn QuickBooks. And I wanted to learn that on lynda.com because I really want to learn this app. And so how do I get hooked up? So I sent her to lynda.com/cultcast. I'm like, girlfriend. And then I snapped in the shape of a Z. Go head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. Sign up for a free trial and learn that app, girl. You learn it. And hopefully she's going to do that because it sounds like she's doing your accounting.
I'll report back and how it works out.
So hopefully when you get audited by the IRS, herlinda.com skills are going to keep you out of jail. But I love Lynda. I use it myself, and what an excellent service. One of my favorite features is also they have a playlist functionality. So if you're trying to learn, for example, how to record music on your iPad, you could set up an educational playlist where they'll walk you through not only how to plug instruments into your iPad and start the recording process, but as they talk about different apps, you can actually put those educational courses for those apps into your playlist. So actually walks you through an entire pretty much class structure of courses. So you really kind of get a start to end on how the process works and that type of thing. So thank you, Lynda.com, LYNDA.com/cultcast for sponsoring. Let's see here, guys. Did you guys check out that video that appeared on the Chinese site Feng of the physical mock-up of the iPhone 6 with 5.5-inch screen?
Oh, yeah.
You saw it, Buster.
Yeah.
And what did you think? Did you think it looked authentic somewhat?
Oh, I have no idea. To be honest, I kind of hate all these case leaks and schematic leaks. I'm not really sure if they're true. Because, I mean, with the iPhone 5, a lot of, like, case leaks came out that were definitely not true at all. But if it's as big as that, then I'd be pretty happy. It looks pretty sweet.
The thing that I thought was interesting is on the back of it, we've talked about how the camera might protrude a little bit, kind of like the iPod Touch. And I was always like, that doesn't really seem like Apple style to make a stick out on a higher-end device, which you guys quickly laughed at me for saying. But this phone, it actually only stuck out just a little bit. It was almost like the eraser on a pencil, just kind of like a little nubbin.
Little nub, yeah.
It was like if you had like a third nipple, you know, might be that shape.
How well to like...
Leander knows what I'm saying.
I wonder. So perfect for me.
Sorry, Buster.
I'm just wondering how that'll affect like camera accessories, like attachment lenses and stuff like that. Because if that, you know, if that keeps you away from it, I would kind of be bummed out.
That's actually a good point.
Popping out lens.
Yeah, Alex, didn't you get that redonkulous like super zoom lens for your iPhone at Macworld?
Yeah. Gosh, don't talk. My save pick. Don't. You're ruining my pick.
Well, you got it like 10 months ago. I figured you would have talked about it by now. Well, I won't mention the name, but would you be able to use that lens on a phone if the camera stuck out a little bit?
No. They'd have to redesign everything. I don't. You guys really think that's going to happen?
What, the protruding lens?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but it can't be noticeable because if you set the phone down on a table, it would... You know, it wouldn't be flush with the table, and the lens would get dinged up every time you put it on a surface.
But it's sapphire glass.
Yeah, dude.
Crystal sapphire glass.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the sapphire.
So the other thing that I thought was interesting, and I think John Brownlee posted this, was that Apple is considering switching out the optical stabilization for digital stabilization. So they're trying to make the phone slimmer. And I wasn't really super excited to hear this rumor because optical stabilization is generally really superior to digital. Buster, did I just cut you off? What were you going to say?
I was going to say the same thing. It's kind of a bummer if Apple moves to that.
But if they have the lens sticking out just a tad, like the third nipple style, then maybe they could stick with optical, which I would prefer. I wouldn't mind having a slightly protruded lens as long as it didn't look like that giant nipple-looking thing on like the Samsung Galaxy Gear. Have you guys ever seen one of those in person?
No.
Yeah, it looks like it has an actual full-size nipple hanging off of it. Not a good look. Well, I guess it depends. It's all relative, right? So in any case, those are the iPhone rumors we have so far this week. They seem to be kind of increasing in
we're getting
them more and more often. And you know, Buster, I know you hate seeing like the cases and stuff and the mock-ups, but I feel like the more of these we actually start seeing, the more accurate I start to believe they might be, because a lot of them have been similar. And, you know, these things are going to start getting leaked the closer we get to a new phone. So, you know, they might end up being accurate.
They might.
Yeah.
So turn that frown upside down.
So I'm just skeptical because I just don't think Apple gives the case makers as much information.
Well, they don't. Like, but there's, you know, I knew somebody who said that a lot of the case makers are pretty well connected, you know, with the factories. And of course, they're all competing like crazy to get the specs because the person, you know, the company with the first cases on the market are probably going to do really well because just about everybody buys a case with a new phone. So there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of, you know, they're all really keen to find this information out for themselves.
And do you guys remember CES, I think 2 years ago, and a case manufacturer and I were talking, who they will be unnamed, and actually this is probably 3 years ago, and they were talking about how the new iPad, I think the iPad 3, was going to be thicker than the previous generation. And I came back and told you guys what they were telling me, and everyone laughed at me, and they're like, no, I think it was John Brownlee. He's like, there's no way they're going to do that. There's no way. And then they ended up being exactly right. They released the iPad 3, and it was a tad bit heavier, a tad bit thicker. So sometimes these case manufacturers, I mean, they're really well connected.
Yeah.
And they all talk to each other. And I mean, hey, our friend Lou got a freaking iPad Air 6 weeks before it was released. I mean, these things are obviously available out there somewhere. Well, before we hop into our iPod discussion, as I mentioned earlier, I thought that maybe we could talk a little bit about the iWatch. And Buster, I'm going to go to you with this because I know that you wrote the piece about how iWatch is already starting to be produced and we're expecting, reportedly, a fall release?
Yes. Supposedly.
Do tell. Don't keep the secrets to yourself.
Sorry, man. Just, I don't know too much other than production started ramping up. They've said that they're producing the iWatch in small samples at first because production's tricky because they're not using a printed circuit board. So I guess they have a high fail rate for it. So they've already started ramping it up for the fall release.
When you say they're not using printed circuit boards, and I'm not sure I should even be asking this question because this might be technical, but
okay,
what are they going to be using instead, and why does that?
They're going to use like system, what is it called? System in a package module. So it's like a bunch of integrated circuits all wrapped up into an enclosure. So it's like a simpler design because you have fewer components, but like if one thing fails, the entire package is you know, worthless. So those are harder to produce, I guess, is what the sources from China Times were saying.
And could you maybe elaborate on the specifications of the voltages and maybe what type of capacitors that's going to be using?
I have no
idea. I'll just be quiet. I'll let you cover that. Go ahead.
I think it's flux capacitors, isn't it, Buster?
Oh, I heard that they are going to be integrating that.
Yeah.
And, and if you wear DeLorean, the watch while going 88 miles per hour in a car, you will disappear in a burst of flames and end up in 1954.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a cool feature. okay, let's talk about iPods, shall we? We got some financials last week, and one of the things that was made clear is that the iPod is not selling very well. Surprise! I don't really think anyone's that shocked by this. But that kind of led to the question, well, why is Apple still selling the iPod? And I know we've had several listeners ask us that same question, and then, you know, whether or not we think that they should increase the capacities of storage space on the iPhone and then just kill off the iPod entirely. Anyone want to be brave and jump in on whether or not Apple should continue making the iPods? Leander, maybe?
Okay, well, they're obviously,
because I know you probably got like 20 in your house, don't you?
Yeah. You know, and I still use a Nano at the gym, and so do a lot of other people. I mean, you know, I see a lot of people. They got their iPhone. They leave their iPhone in the locker and they pull out an iPod for working out. And so, you know, there's definitely a lot of people, and that was what the people were saying. You know, we followed up and we asked people, well, you know, why do you keep it? And they said, well, there's a lot of scenarios when people want to have a dedicated player. Like in the car, a lot of people use them in the car, right? Load it up with music.
Sure, yeah.
So you don't have to stream. So, you know, there's still a lot of people still use them for, you know, a lot of places. And obviously they're still selling enough that they want to keep it around.
Alex, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I haven't used an iPod in so long. like ever, well, since I got my iPhone.
I think that's probably been about as long as it's been for me too.
So, I mean, I think I still have one somewhere, one or two, but they're just, the only people I know that have iPhones and still use iPods use them for very specific things. Like if they're running, or like if they have a shuffle and they're running, or if they're in the car and they have a classic that's got like 200 gigs of music on it and they can't stream all the time, they just have that as their jukebox in the car. But like people don't use them how they used to.
Leander, roll up your motorcycle windows, please. Tell Tracy to keep it under 80 miles an hour, please.
Okay.
Buster, what do you think?
I mean, as long as it's making money, Apple will keep it around, right?
Well, as long as it's making enough money, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As long as it's like a $1 billion business or something, I think it'll still be serious. I use an iPod Nano while on hikes, you know, just because it saves on battery life for my phone. But other than that, I don't have much of a use for it, and I would never like go out and buy an iPod Nano, I don't think.
Maybe people are streaming so much now that they really don't need the extra capacity, and there are still people that need it, but...
Well, an iPod Nano is just, it's still so small. It's like, what, 16 gigs at the smallest, and that's still not a lot of room to hold music. So on your iPhone, if you have signal, yeah, you just stream much more.
But there are a lot of scenarios where you wouldn't have the ability to stream music. Like if you're going on an airplane, maybe you're somewhere without cell reception. Like, you know, when you travel, whenever I travel, I can't listen to music now because I don't have any of it stored locally on my device. It's all stored online, or I use Spotify or something. So, I mean, there's still definitely a need to have some local storage. I don't understand why Apple doesn't just add like a special, this is going to sound like bad marketing, and it is, but like an iPod model iPhone where they include a bunch of extra capacity that you could pay for if you wanted it, and you could buy like a 256 gigabyte, you know, iPhone. And then it would be like a grand.
I like it.
Yeah.
That would never happen.
Dude, I think it's clear that I'm going to be leaving you guys behind to go work for Apple in their marketing department. you plebeians.
Is it like module that you can install yourself?
Yeah, yeah. It's something that it has like a mechanical hard drive, and then you latch it onto the bottom, and then you clamp it onto the top so it stays there. It only weighs like a pound. You know, I think that's a small price to pay. $1,000 for a pound of extra storage, and it carries like, I don't know, like 100,000 songs. No, but all joking aside, I mean, they still have the mechanical hard drive in the iPod Classic. They got to be able to do something there, right? I mean, that thing has been sitting there for 6 years, 7 years, not updated at all. Do you guys know when the last time they updated it is?
I can't remember.
It's been years.
It was basically... Yeah, it's been 6 years or something. I thought they would have definitely put like a terabyte in it by now or something.
That would be awesome. Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, it's like a terabyte SSD, it would cost you $600, but that'd be sweet.
But they could probably put a terabyte in of like mechanical hard drive storage. They've got to still make that stuff. That'd be awesome. That would actually make it useful again. How much is the iPod Classic?
$250.
Oh, well, it's actually not that expensive. And how much storage does it have still?
160 gigabytes.
Dude, that's 160 gigabytes. That's the max still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't it go to 300?
No, they only do it in 160 now, too. I think maybe they did have a bigger size.
It's got to just be that people that have large music collections are not wanting to listen to that music on the iPod. I mean, what else could it be? 160 gigabytes is not very much space. I mean, my music collection is like 50, and I'm not even like an audiophile. How big is yours, Leander?
I don't know. It's in, you know, iTunes Cloud, but I don't think it ever got, you know, that huge. I don't think it ever got more than 100 gigs. I mean, how can you tell in iTunes?
You'd probably have to do a search for the size of your... Oh, actually, you'd have to highlight all your music, right? Or does it just say at the bottom of iTunes?
I think it's just at the very bottom of the thing.
Yeah.
In your library.
The thing...
Check the bottom of your thing. No, no, not that thing.
It ain't there. All right, well, you know.
Anyway, anyone have anyone else to add anything on this topic before we move on?
Nah.
iPod's an interesting thing because it's one of those products that makes Apple a lot of money, And it's obviously making them enough where they haven't really, you know, put a ton of effort into changing it. But still, you would have thought by now the iPhone would have taken over, the iPod Touch would have just been the only kind of iPod that they have out there. But yeah. I would love to see them add some more storage to the iPhone. That's another big thing. And actually, before we move on, what do you guys think about more storage in the iPhone 6? You think it's going to happen? Are we going to see 100 or 256 gigabyte iPhones?
I don't know. Those rumors come out every year. Everybody's always got rumors about like reduced storage or increased storage. I don't know. I mean,
do you think there's a market for it?
I think there's a very, very niche market, like people that want Neil Young's whatever Pono player.
Yeah, it's like
it's those kind of people. Like,
It's $1 million market, not $1 billion market, and that's what Apple focuses.
And you know what's cooler than a billion?
Yeah, that's a good point, dude. I hadn't even thought about that. Okay, cool. Well, before we move on, I do want to thank our sponsor, Squarespace, for supporting this episode. I always tell people, if you need a website, you should check out squarespace.com because they make it super duper simple and easy to build a beautiful and elegant website with minimal effort and zero coding. You don't even have to be a coder or know how to code. You just use their really intuitive drag and drop interface. And you can drop in social media modules. You can drop in a blog. You can drop in all sorts of great stuff that's going to make your website really powerful and allow you to have a blog or a portfolio of your work. Or you can have an online store. And it's all going to be set up without any coding. You're going to check out or pick the design that you want, pick the colors that you want, and everything's going to look just how you like it. And the great thing is with every Squarespace site, responsive design is built in for free. That means that if a computer goes to it, it's going to be formatted to look great on a computer screen. If you go to if an iPad or an iPhone visits your website, it's going to look great on those devices as well. And Squarespace makes the whole thing look great, and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff or making it work for Google because they have all that stuff optimized as well. Plans start at $8 a month and include a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And you can do just about anything you want online with a Squarespace website. In fact, I was thinking, Leander, we could get a website going for you for maybe like leanderscrumpets.com.
I love a bit of crumpet.
Are there different kinds of crumpets, though?
There's all kinds of crumpets.
Perfect. This is gonna be a big cash cow for us. So we're gonna do leanderscrumpets.com. You can come, and every time you place an order, Leander will cook you a crumpet, and he'll put it in an envelope and mail it to your residence.
One does not cook a crumpet.
I'm sorry.
One does not merely cook a crumpet.
I think we just found our episode title. How does a crumpet get made, Leander?
You toast a crumpet.
Well, what about when you make the batter and stuff? I mean,
I don't know how you do that. I just buy them from the store.
Okay, before you toast the crumpets, I think you have to bake a crumpet or something. Or maybe they're fried. Anyway, if you want to build your own crumpet website, head on over to squarespace.com/podcast.
Crumpet is also a British slang for an attractive young lady.
Oh, well, ooh, that is good to know.
Hello there, you little crumpet.
Ah, look at that little crumpet.
Get your crumpet over here.
Squarespace.com/cultcast. You won't even need a credit card or anything. You just enter in your email address. They'll have you up and running in no time. Try a free trial. And then if you decide you want to order Squarespace, you'll save 10% off your order. Just use the code cultcast at checkout. Thank you, Squarespace, for supporting this episode and making leanderscrumpets.com possible. Someone's gonna buy that domain name. it's gonna be gone by the time we get around to it.
I just checked it out. There's nothing there. I think it's parked.
Oh really? Oh, but somebody owns it?
I don't know. I not sure. Can't tell.
Dang it.
Yeah, it looks like it is. I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah,
because they don't have Leander's crumpets though.
We should crumpets.com is obviously taken. Leander's crumpets.
I have to run, unfortunately.
Oh, did I make you hungry by talking about crumpets?
No, someone's knocking on the door.
Okay, well, you can go ahead and hop off. The three duders here, we'll finish off the show, but Have a cup of tea for me today, will you, Leander?
Okay, well, I'll have a bucket of tea.
Okay, see you later.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, guys. All right. Let's continue with some more news items, and then we'll finish off with a faves and raves. Let's talk about updated MacBook Airs, shall we?
Oh yeah.
I thought this was fun news. So for those people that didn't hear, MacBook Airs got updated with new processors, and we also got a price drop. So now you can get a brand new MacBook Air. I think the 11-inch model is $899. Is that correct, gentlemen?
Right.
And so I checked out the educational store. So if you're a student, you can get an 11-inch MacBook Air for $849.
Dude, that's pretty nice.
I think that's the cheapest that I've ever seen for an Apple computer ever in my lifetime.
Plus the refurb price will probably be pretty low too. So
the price of refurb?
Refurb price.
Oh, yeah, that makes way more sense. Yeah,
it'll be like $600 to get a MacBook Air. That's a good point.
Because whenever they drop the price of the retail model, the price of the refurbs drop as well. So you keep your eyes out for those. Do you remember how much the 11 or the 13-inch models were, Buster?
They were like in the 700s before. So once the new models go, maybe they'll be in the 600s.
Are you talking about the refurb price or the retail price?
The refurb price on the
market. Okay. Yeah. But that's insane. I mean, there's probably people out there that are new to Apple and don't realize how expensive the laptops used to be before the MacBook Airs. I remember in college, I got a 17-inch MacBook Pro, and I think it cost me $3,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, didn't even the MacBook Air start out around close to $2,000?
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, I remember when they first came out, they were insanely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I think they had mechanical hard drives then, too.
Yeah.
So, really cool that you can get one for such an inexpensive price. And this will probably set them up to release a Retina Pro, or not a Retina Pro, a MacBook Air with Retina screen sometime in the future, and maybe have like not a super duper high price on it,
right?
Which we're expecting probably sometime. Yeah, in the fall.
Well, it'll be like $150 more. So
yeah, Ming-Chi Kuo.
Dude, good pronunciation on that. I appreciate you're willing to go the extra mile.
Best Apple analyst on the planet said that there's like this 12-inch Air Pro Retina hybrid thing coming.
That sounds awesome.
That would be awesome.
I don't believe it.
Here's the deal.
I don't believe it.
No, here's the deal. The Retina MacBook is the best MacBook ever. And once that comes to the Air, once the Air gets the Retina screen, it's game over.
Game over, man.
Because I use the Retina 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro, and it's amazing. I love it.
See,
it's
me too.
Personally, I don't really think that the Retina MacBook Pro is the best laptop ever, but I really do think the Air already is a really amazing laptop.
Dude, it's like when you use a Retina display MacBook and then you go to a non-Retina,
I owned a Retina MacBook Pro.
Dude,
I understand the goodness of it. I'm just saying, I think it's a little bit bulky for most people. I really do think the Air is the best computer for everybody.
I'm actually with you, Buster. Alex, I love the MacBook Air. I have the 15-inch. MacBook Pro, and the Air is I think a better computer for most people. They just don't need a computer that has the power that guys like us need. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But once they throw a Retina display onto it, yes, it'll be even like crazy amazing, which is so exciting.
I've even thought about selling my 15 and getting the 13 because the 13 inch Pro. Yeah, I don't really like 13-inch MacBook Air. It's not really that much lighter. But it doesn't have the Retina screen or anything. So the 13-inch MacBook Pro, I think, is pretty much the perfect computer for me because it still has the advanced graphics, but it weighs 3.5 pounds instead of the 15 weighs 4.5, which isn't exactly heavy, but it's noticeable. That extra pound is definitely noticeable in the bag. Plus, the 13 is just smaller. It's easy to carry, and if sometimes I need to carry two laptops with me because I'm such a baller. So it's hard to fit two laptops in the same bag. It's like...
Yeah, that's a real world problem right there.
Yeah, have you guys when you got to carry around three laptops, it's just hard to fit them all in one bag.
I'm just imagining Phil Schiller, and finally a MacBook for when you need to carry three at once. We've been listening to our customers, Arfon, and we've created whatever that will be called. I don't know.
The MacBook double stuff.
The double-stuffed MacBook.
Double-stuffed MacBook. You heard it here first, folks. So yeah, unfortunately, no Retina update on these new updates, or on these new MacBook Airs, rather. But we're expecting those in fall. Let's talk about Skype. We all use Skype to record the show, and I thought it was cool that Skype is finally letting people do multi-person video chats for free. They were letting people do these before, but they cost $8.99 a month, I believe. And with, you know, Google Hangouts being super duper popular and everyone just using that for their video chats, it's cool to see Skype actually being a little bit more progressive and being like, yeah, no one's ever gonna pay us for this.
Who's
gonna
pay $9? More like, oh wait, what's going on? Oh, okay.
Oh, wait a second, they're getting that for free? Oh, dude. That's verbatim the conversation that happened at the office before they just hit the free button on the price tag. So maybe we could start doing some video discussions, guys. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think we should probably do those on Google Hangouts, though. Like we did it with our live show, so that all the comments are integrated into YouTube.
And our Google Plus account that we use.
Yeah, lots of activity happened on our Google Plus account for sure. Alex, before we move on to faves and raves and faves and raves and faves, you want to talk about this Google app that they just released, or I should say apps that they released?
Not really.
Well, do it anyway, please.
Okay, they put out their Docs app and Spreadsheets app. Whoa. And they've got a PowerPoint one coming too.
Called Slides. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So before you, when you wanted to use your docs on Google Drive, you had to use the Google Drive app, which I don't have a lot of experience actually using because I found it to be a little cumbersome. Was there another way to access those docs, Alex?
Yeah, you could do it in the Google Drive app, but it was not. It wasn't tailored to be like a, you know, a word processor.
And so the Word version and the Spreadsheet version, what did you say they were called again? Docs and Sheets.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sheets. So those are out now and they're free.
Yeah.
And they're solid competitors to the Microsoft Office suite, which costs...
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, Microsoft, Apple, and Google all now have, you know, productivity suites that are all free to download in the App Store. And you got to pay to use Microsoft's, but you got a lot of options now.
I'm sure that the Microsoft products are way more powerful, though.
Yeah, I just think it speaks to the App Store that the App Store is the only place where you've got all three of those companies' apps in one place. Like, iOS is the only platform that gets everything. Like, Google Play will have Google's apps. And Microsoft, what I don't even know, do they have a store? Whatever their
yeah,
store is.
They do.
They'll have
they
their
do
stuff.
Have a store, yeah.
Apple will not only have their stuff, but everyone else's.
Yeah, well, it's obviously the biggest store. So,
yeah.
So yeah, college kids, if you're out there, and I know you guys are always looking for free options, and probably, I don't know, I would imagine a lot of them use Google Drive for all their docs and stuff, rather than paying for the Office suite. So now you have a way to do all that stuff on your iOS devices. Though, I don't know why you'd want to. I still think that people who do productivity stuff on their iPhones and iPads are a little weird. But I guess that they're out there. And so you can check those out. All right, guys. Let's wrap up with an all-new, been way too long since we've done, faves and raves and faves and raves and...
Faves.
Dude, was that you, Satan? Jeez, Alex, I got goosebumps. So this is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. Right about now, if Leander were still here, he'd be scrambling looking for things on his desk that he could pick. But we all have things pre-selected, as you're supposed to, on this segment. Does anyone want to go first? Actually, Alex, I already know what yours is. But,
no, I'm not going to go first. The person that always goes first never wins.
Really? Buster, do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I'll go first. Yeah.
Okay.
Not afraid.
Okay, yeah, do it.
Mine is a simple pick this week. It's called OneTab. It's a little browser extension for
Safari.
Oh, this is
going to
be your pick.
What?
This is going to be your pick. We were just talking about this.
Yeah, yeah. I said it was going to be my pick.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Ah, yeah.
Sorry. One tap. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
So one tap, what it does is it takes, you know, when you have, you're surfing the internet and you have like 50 tabs open after browsing for a couple of minutes, you can just click a button and it shrinks all of your tabs down onto one page. So like it makes everything a lot more manageable. So you can go back and like restore pages as you actually want to read them instead of like Chrome chugging away all your battery power and processor.
That's only works in Chrome, not in Safari.
Okay, only
this stuff,
works in Chrome.
This stuff never works in Safari, but I swear everyone's actually using using Chrome and not Safari, Alex.
Yeah, I never use Safari.
No.
Oh, no. This sounds similar to one that I use that I'm trying to look at the name. It's called Session Buddy. Have you heard of this one, Buster?
I haven't heard of it.
This is actually what I use to organize the show notes when I open all the different tabs, and you can save... it's a Chrome extension, and you can save the session for later. So when you want to go back, you can go into Session Buddy, and you can reopen all the tabs that you were using. Or if you close the Chrome window, you can go and reopen all the tabs in another window. Is this similar to what OneTab does?
Similar, yeah.
Okay, so actually really useful. You might get my vote. Alex, you want to go?
Yeah. So at Macworld, I got my hands on the iPro lens system by Schmatter Optics, and it's a pretty expensive, it's like $200 piece of kit.
Whoa, but, is it really?
Yeah, but it's, at least the one I got was, but
this is the one I got.
But Schmatter has been making glass and lenses for like broadcast TV cameras and stuff for years, so they really know what they're doing. But they've made, you know, it looked a little weird to me. It looked kind of, especially the name. I was like, I don't know about this. But I've taken it out, like out rock climbing and out in the woods and stuff and used it for different scenarios. And, I've got the 4-in-1 kit. It's got like a fisheye, a tele, a wide and a macro. And it's not like Olloclip where you have to, you know, you can't have a case unless you have the Olloclip case and you have to like slide each one on and off. They're like this, it's this bayonet design. So Schmatter gives you this really nice, it feels really nice, black case that goes on the 5S and it's got this little groove around the camera lens and these lenses just pop in and off of that.
So wait, you do have to have their special case.
Yeah. You have to have their case.
Cause I thought that's what you just said. You didn't, because
it's easier. It's easier to take on and off. I'm
than
saying
Olloclip.
Than Olloclip. Yeah.
okay.
and, yeah. And the glass is really nice. They look good. I really like the wide angle, and it's got a cool design. Like all of the lenses compact together into this tiny little. It's like this tube that because the case has tripod screws on either side and. It's got a little tripod knob at the bottom of the thing that holds all of the lenses, the little tube, and that screws into the bottom of the case, and all of a sudden you have a grip to hold the phone. So all of your lenses are stored in this little hand grip that you can use as like a makeshift tripod whenever you're out and about. So it's a pretty cool way of storing the lenses. So
did you post any of these on Instagram?
Yeah, I have.
What's your Instagram again?
Alex Heath.
Alex Heath. Oh, I was doing Alex E. Heath.
No, it's Alex Heath.
Yeah, I want to check out some of these
photos. I actually got my real name on Instagram. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And the wider ones will be on my Vosco grid later, but because you got to crop for Instagram only. But
whoa.
But yeah.
Okay. Cool. Sorry, I was getting a little staticky there, but we're good to go. Well, I'll tell you what. Mine's not going to win, but I'm going to pitch it anyway. I'm going to take one for the team. Because I found an app that's really handy, and most people are not going to find this useful. But if you need something like this, you are going to find this very useful. And it's called Mile Tracker. It's an app. I think it's $3 or $4. I don't remember how much I paid for it. And it does exactly what you think it does. It helps you track your mileage driven for your business. So if anyone out there that owns a business knows that if you're driving for business purposes, you can write that stuff off. And the write-off is actually significant. And it's one of the better write-offs that you get as a business owner. Well, it's difficult to keep track of your mileage when you're using your car for personal purposes, which is what you normally use it for. And and business purposes too. So I downloaded this app, and it makes it super duper easy to keep track of your mileage. So you can do it via GPS, and it will tell you how far you drove. And if you did a round trip, it will add up all the miles and everything. And then it logs the dates as well. And it even shows you a little map on where you were. Mm-hmm. Or you can enter mileage in manually, and you could use the search function to search for different landmarks around, and it will calculate the mileage this or that way, or you could just tell it how far you drove. So really handy it will come tax time, and I'm a huge advocate of doing whatever you can now to kind of save yourself time at tax time. So to keep track of your mileage, again, it's called Mile Tracker. I hear someone snickering in the background. Snicker away, sir, because I'm
snickering
get...
because I did a quick search in the App Store and I found an app called Auto Miles that looks
I did
so much
too.
Better.
Yeah, I was doing that exactly. That
looks so much better.
But I was like,
free.
Wow, this Auto Miles app looks good. And it's
yeah, but would you need
AirPods
it?
AirPods look crappy. Well, I mean, just compared to what you paid for, that Auto Miles app looks better. Don't
well, I don't know if I tried Auto Miles, but there were some things, and I can't recall now because I actually downloaded this like 2 months ago, but there were some stuff that this app did that a lot of the other apps did not do. Uh-huh. So I ended up going with this one. So one of those free ones might actually work fine for you, but this one lets you have multiple users, so you can
much
keep track
advanced.
Of multiple cars. Yeah, I'm an advanced mile tracker,
yeah.
Buster. Yeah. You're like a novice mile tracker.
I don't even track miles.
Dude, so. You should, because you drove your car to CES.
Good point.
You could have written off like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I need to start doing that. Because I'm like still trying to get my 2013 taxes together because I didn't get my paperwork together.
Yeah. See, I mean that's why I.
Because being a freelancer sucks because like you need to have deductions and so or like if you're a business owner too and so
absolutely
stuff like this helps.
And if you're getting paid 1099 like a lot of writers do. I mean, you're technically your own business, so you need to be writing off as much of that stuff as you can. And you know the government loves to take your money. So you got to do what you can to write some of that stuff off. So anyway, that's my pick, Mile Tracker. Can I vote first, guys? This is actually a tough pick because both of yours were good. Both of yours were actually good, and I could see myself using either of them. But I do think I'm going to go with Buster's, which is one tab.
Oh, snap.
Because, A, it's free. And B, I think that yours, Alex, is something that I would use for about 2 weeks, and then I would get tired of carrying it around with me, and I would stop using it.
I don't use it on a day-to-day basis. If it like if I'm going hiking or something, I take it with me.
Then you take it with you? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I found like...
Yeah.
You found what?
Well, I won't say it.
That's too suspenseful. What did you find? Now I need to know.
I was just going to say... With like, while hiking, I kind of hate like busting out like the extra lenses and stuff like that. Cause like the nice thing about your iPhone is you just pull it out and it's ready, you know?
I know.
So I'm gonna vote for AirPods.
My gosh. You are hearing a historic moment here, folks.
I don't think
Buster has voted on one of my picks since like episode 20. It's been
this
that
is such
long.
A retarded game.
Okay, that's Alex, fine. who's going to be the winner?
I'm not
Alex?
Voting for anybody.
Oh, okay. Come on, well then to. But then the house
I'm going to vote for myself.
Okay. Well then you've officially been disqualified and Buster and I both win.
Yes.
That's great. You both win. Good job.
Yeah. Just envision us. I'm holding Buster's hand in the air like we just completed a boxing match and then Alex is laying on the mat. He's all passed out cuz we're the champions and you're not. Sorry, Alex. Hey, you know what, dude? You gotta feel good for me because I never win. I can't even remember the last time I won. Buster, do you?
It's been years.
it's been since the early 10s or 20s.
I could pick a new Tesla. I could pick like the Model X Tesla, and you guys would still not vote for it.
No, I would vote for that.
Well, you have to have one of those.
Yeah, you do have to have one in order for it to actually count. Otherwise, I would just pick a spaceship. Oh, dude, I picked the spaceship. It's my pick of the week.
I'm going to pick Jupiter.
Yeah, I picked the sun. Because it powers everything on Earth. Okay. I picked the galaxy because it holds the sun. Dude, I win. Alex, these are good jokes, man. You should be like at least lightly laughing at some of these. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you say, guys?
Oh, great.
I think it, I think the time has come. But I feel good about being a co-winner of this week's Raven Rave, so I'm going to have a good day today. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week, though. If you want to come hang out with us and tell us who you think won the Faves and Raves, head on over to Twitter. You can follow me. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Buster is B-S-T-3-R. And, of course, you can always join us on our Facebook page and tell us who you think the winner should be there.
And our new cult cast Twitter.
Oh, that's right. We have a new CultCast Twitter at TheCultCast. Thank you for reminding me about that, which we'll be using to post show-related news and that type of thing. And then Facebook.com/TheCultCast. I think that's it. That's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. The new episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. What do you say, guys? All together on 1, 2, 3. Next time. I thought you guys were gonna leave me hanging.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Alex, you were thinking about it, weren't you? You're still mad. It's okay. It's okay.
Did you see that new, they got that British actor in the new Star Wars movie?
They got a British guy?
The black British actor?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry.
Dude.
I've only seen him in Attack the Block. That was the only thing I've seen him in.
He was pretty good at that, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a funny movie.
As long as it's not Samuel L. Jackson, he ruined Star Wars.
Yeah, right.
He's not the right actor for Star Wars.
No, he's not.
Yeah, well, I got the Force. I use it every day.
How are they going to get the old guys in it?
That's the question. Did you guys see that picture that IGN released of all of them doing like a read? Yeah. They're all sitting in a huge circle.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was Harrison Ford's the only one with like a big part, and all the other ones are kind of like smaller roles from the old cast.
Huh. That wouldn't surprise me, yeah. They're going to be, like, smaller cameos.
What do you mean all the other ones are small roles?
Mark Hamill and...
Oh, like they're not going to be big roles? That, okay.
Yeah,
I thought she was
like,
no, dude, Luke Skywalker was a pretty big role.
Whoa.
That's what I thought she said.
You mean in the first set of movies?
Yeah.
No, dude, I think Luke Skywalker was a main character.
Did he say
you got this wrong,
turn
Buster.
Turn on the lens flare?
What? Turn off the lens flare?
No, I'm sure there'll be lots of that.
J.J. Abrams is, you know, famous for, like,
yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots of that.
You don't like the lens flare? I love it.
I never notice it until people complain about it, and then you do see that he uses it all the time.
Right, and then once you notice it, it's in every single shot.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, why is that there?
I like it. It made it look really futuristic.
I think that's a cheap way to make it look futuristic, but...
Yeah, it's a gimmick. He's
a total hack. The rest of the CGI aside, amazing CGI aside, that one trick made the whole movie just crap.
It does. It makes it suck. You can't. Like Buster says, you can't help but just. Oh, that's all you can see, and you go, "Oh my god, lens flare again."
Later, what's your favorite movie? Is it like Harold and Maude or something?
Oh, some obscure British comedy. Actually, it is The Lady Killers. Probably
okay, I think we talked about this in a previous episode. Because every time we talk about a movie, you're like, oh, it's awful. It's awful.
Well, I watched Mona Lisa. Poor old Bob Hoskins died yesterday. And
yeah, he was in
really
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Him.
Huh? He was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hook.
Right.
Oh, he was. He was Smee.
Yeah, right. But he did a whole bunch of great British movies, you know, character acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched one of them last night, Neil Jordan's Mona Lisa.
Haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. He's great in it. I mean, he's like so standout.
It's always interesting when one of those kind of color actors, character actors dies and you're like, wow, I really did like them and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You don't really notice until they croak.